Welcome to the new day, my fellow thinkers. I'm coming to you from sweet, sultry, smelly Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Logan Eldine Misseldine, and welcome to this week's Potless Thoughts. So, with this week, this is another adventure in the woods story, another telling of another arduous journey in the backcountry of my past. Before I get into that, I just wanted to kind of just talk out loud and just talk about my week, what's been going on. I've just been working a lot. I work a blue collar job. I'm second shift, and which means that I work till midnight every night. For those who don't know what second shift means, but this week I was doing a little bit in betweens, or been having some machine malfunctions, so we've been having smaller hours. And yesterday was the first day I've worked at first shift, aka leaving at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In a long time, and I was super exhausted, but it's always so nice to come home when the sun's around. Especially during the winter time, it's where I used to like leave my house when the sun was down, and then come home when the sun was down, and I never even saw the sun. And then there's something to be said about waking up and seeing the sun, and then being home and being at rest, or at least being somewhere outside of your immediate responsibilities when the sun goes down, especially day to day. There's just always some about being around positive scenarios when during the normal circadian rhythm. There's something wired in us. I can totally see how some of the people I work with are just so begrudged and dragged out emotionally and energetically. But yeah, and other than that, but I've got this Friday off. I got Saturday off. I got Sunday off. So it's all nice 3 day weekend that don't have to. Have to pay for, so it's good. It's a good time, especially when I get to home, stay home, reconnect with myself. Obviously, record this, play some video games, get some aggressions out. Eat some dinner. Gonna get some freebie subs tonight. We won some subs from a little coupon contest. Oh, I'm so excited, so excited. But yeah, other than that, nothing too big. I know it's not too big of a holiday weekend or anything, but it feels like it to me. That's what's going on with my week. But this week, with this podcast, this so I'm gonna sit here and set the scene. Well, actually, before that, I do have an announcement. I'm sorry, everybody, I'm all over the place. I do have an announcement. I personally would love to hear your stories. I want to know what you guys have done outdoors. I want to know what you've done. Adventure-wise, it can be in the city, it could be outside the city, it could be outside the country. I really want to hear some stories. I want to, and maybe if you guys are comfortable with, and you can let me know this, I could share them. I could share some short instances and something that's cool that you've done, and I can do that on Instagram. I can do it on Facebook. I can do it here on the podcast and give me shout-outs. I'd love to hear stories. I'm such a storyteller. I'm gonna share some even campfire stories you can tell to your kids and go camping this summer. Something like that. I'm gonna start doing that. But I love stories. I love outdoor stories. I love adventure stories. It doesn't matter if they're outdoor or not. I'm much more of an outdoor person, so most of my stories are gonna be from the outdoors. But I really do want to hear you guys' stories. If you're listening to this, I would love if you send something in. I would love to share those with people or just have them shared with me. I'd love to hear people's adventures. I crave it. It's one of my favorite things to do, and I'd love to reach out to more people and. Have had different experiences from me or from people that are in my area. I would really enjoy that if you guys are totally down with that. So enough of my pity plea for attention there. So setting the scene. Okay, so as I've stated before, I used to live in Utah. I moved when I was 13. This story is when I was 12 years old. So like the year or yeah, the year, the summer before I moved out. Or maybe. No, yeah, it would have to be that one. I was so many things going on in my head by now. But no, it was definitely the year before I moved out to New York. It was one of the last adventures I had in the mountains, at least the big ones. And the thing about out west, especially for anybody who isn't out west right now or listening to this or has never been, there the geography and the topography is just so starkly different from the east. I mean, this is pretty obvious, but it's so. Just amazingly beautiful in the altitude and these mountains. I grew up being enthralled with the mountains and the way that they looked, and especially the Rocky Mountains, which are ironically so rocky, outcroppings and all the crevices and valleys and the mountain peaks you could see. I used to live right in the valley, of I'm not sure which valley it is. Like, I couldn't tell you. I lived in a town called Brigham City, which was an hour from Salt Lake City, and it was in a in one of the valleys. And I don't remember growing up and being told that you could never be afraid of a tornado because there's no way it could possibly happen. So I still think that way, even when there are tornadoes warnings here in Buffalo sometimes. But I remember that on the west side, you could see mountains far in the distance. Not so far, but you could see them pretty well. You know, they were far up. In the east ones, on the east side of everything, they were right there all the time. No matter where you were in town, you could see the mountains. And my grandparents lived right at the base of them, like a 5-minute walk. And you could walk straight up the mountain, and all sorts of adventure you could have, small here and there. But,
Did you tell them about the bacon? The Bacon Mountain. The
the
mountain that
bacon
looks
mountain.
like bacon.
Oh yes. So sorry, that was my wife, but she No, I took her back for our honeymoon, because of how mountains are built and the formation of them, the pushing of the Earth's crust. Like, if anybody has a basic understanding of geography, that you can see literally into the layers of mountain. And my wife exclaimed that it looked just like bacon, just crackling up and down. And it's really cute of her to say that. So that's what I grew up on and looking around at. But with Utah. This is something that I've been told is the three M's of Utah: Mormons, Mexicans, and meth. But if you're PC or into the story, it's Mormons, Mexicans, and mountains. There's so th th those are three M's of it. With the meth part, there were literally three meth labs I remember I grew up around that got shut down periodically. And there was a mobile one that went around for a while. I just remember that being a thing, especially. It was. Especially when you're seeing your neighbor paint their cellar windows pitch black, there's something going on there. So that's where I grew up. But I remember one time my friend, who ironically was also named Brigham, we went from his house, we walked straight up the mountain to a waterfall that was there. It was a dinky little thing, but there were several of them, and there was so much to explore in these mountains, and there was a trail to this. To this, because most of the time you'd just be walking on your own. I don't know if it was private property or not, but we didn't really care. But we were trying to climb it up with an awl and a hammer. We were trying to be ice climbers, and that didn't work out too well. So we just kept to climbing up higher and higher, and we hit to the top of the waterfall and the pool that was up there and the little creek that was coming through. Somebody had illegally caught a muskrat in a trap. We were pretty sure about that, and they forgot about it, so it was this nasty, foul-smelling thing. And so we were all kind of buzzed off that, poking at it and stuff. And then we turned around and we were walking across to the top of it, and this patch of snow, and just perfectly in the middle of it was this paw print, and it was this giant puma print, like of a cougar, a mountain lion. And we were so freaked out because, I mean, to our young eyes, it looked so fresh. We just ran straight down the mountain. We can't be here. This is dangerous. Oh no! Because there are mountain lions out there, and obviously they're pretty close, but they never really harmed too much. But it was just so amazing to have that like encounter of danger, and we were so enthralled with that. And so, like, that's kind of what I grew up with. And so when I was 12, my dad was the scoutmaster of our troop. And we planned out this 3-day backpacking trip into a high, and our destination was a high altitude lake. And so that was the goal that we had. That's what we were looking for. And we were getting ready, and I was so excited. It was the first considered high adventure trip I'd ever taken. I had been camping before, and I had done so much camping and then a little bit of hiking here and there, but like nothing like this arduous. So, sorry if this sounded interrupted. I just had to ensure that I didn't lose all my progress here. But so with this trip, we and this is being one of the very first big old adventures where I really needed to meticulously go through my equipment. Obviously, my dad helped me a lot because I was young and not very solid mind as any 12-year-old would be. So I remember we made it a big effort to packing as little as possible, but as necessarily as possible, and as light as possible. And so with backpacking, anybody who's unfamiliar with it, the idea is that you carry everything that you need on your back, obviously traversing through some period of time, but also making it as lightweight as possible, because the more weight you have on your back, obviously the more in pain you'll be in, the harder going you'll be. So the lighter you can do it while keeping everything necessary and maybe just the minimal amount of comfort is ideal. And so I feel like in that trip, I really did do this personally really well because of the way we were working with my dad, and we were working with as a troop about it, and we were very teamwork through it. We and it was a, for whatever reason, I don't really remember a lot of details about much of this because it was such a there was so much going on with it, and so I just I don't remember the biggest points of this, but I do remember a lot of the big events. But I remember being so like into the process, especially because I've never. Like, because anytime we went camping, yeah, we had heavy packs, and we did pretty comfortably. So we had a lot of food, we had a lot of things. Never really did anything like dehydrated meals too much, or smaller meals with packaged food, processed food, but keeping as light and healthy as possible. So I remember making a huge effort of getting tuna fish and chicken in the aluminum bags, and having crackers and being able to carry them safely so they didn't get crushed, and then oatmeal, and planning out these meticulous little detailed lists and put and learn. It's really where I learned how to pack a pack as tightly as possible, or just beginning to learn how to still and how to lash things on effectively. And I remember I had a lot of creative freedom within. And if something obviously wasn't working, obviously my dad would step in or somebody else would help me out. But I remember being very independent on that and very responsible for myself, which is a really good thing. But I remember that first day I had my pack filled. It was like a 1970s external frame. I still love external frames. I'm such an old soul when it comes to equipment. Like, I don't believe that I don't ever want to get an internal frame, maybe until I actually get one and learn my ways. But I love external frame. I love having able to have everything lashed on the outside and having that extra openness, not necessarily the confines of an internal frame pack where you have to smash everything inside of it, whereas with an external frame you can kind of just lash the outside of it, and if you need to cover it you can cover the tarp if you needed to, or get wet, or just suck it up. I love the look of them and everything. And so, well, anybody who doesn't know anything about backpacking, I'll elaborate a little bit. So there's two different types of backpacks you're gonna have. They both have a waist cinch, so it takes the weight off your shoulders and it puts it into your body more and keeps it closer to your body. But the traditionally, it's an external frame. It's those typical where you think of like the Swedish people walking up the Alps, where you can literally see the metal frame on the outside. Whereas nowadays, they have like a rigid system, but it's internally, so it's more like a real backpack or a more modern backpack. And both have pros and cons. The external frames are no longer as popular. I'm sure there's good reason for that. Personally, I like them. And so you can look up pros and cons about that. I'm not going to talk about this whole podcast about that. I could go into deeper detail, but that's not about this one's about. But I remember it being really hard. I'd gotten new boots too, and so I had broken them in already, and I was ready to go. And I remember that I was like I was always been mentally tough, and like I'd always tried to strive as best. But this one was one of the first big tests of mental toughness I'd ever had. So I remember the first day being in terrible shape mentally and just like aggravated, but super excited to get there. I don't remember too much. There were some conversations we had, and we had some fun, and I don't remember, but somebody had brought their dogs, and I remember through somebody else I remember playing with them, and we were traversing through, and we were going up. It was very steep and in the mountains, and it's kind of deserty. It's not very timber filled, especially where we're at, especially on the lower end of the mountain. So it was hot, it was muggy, it was the middle of July, as I remember. So I remember the first break, like the first real break we took for that day, we had just come up, and we were walking into timber. So I remember walking up the trail, and it had gotten really rugged through weathering. It was very eroded, so there was roots pulling. I remember that. I remember looking up at the pine trees above me, and I remember just wanting to get in that shade so bad. I remember, people complaining, but I remember being tough as I could and not trying to complain as much. And I remember just sitting in that pine grove. It was really a grove. It wasn't even like just timber, because it was literally just one small section of the trail. And I remember just looking at the pine needles, seeing the chipmunks running around, and feeling that heat, but also feeling cool in the shade, and just feeling so comfortable at ease laying against my pack and drinking water and saving the food for the end. And I remember there were there that up ahead was a spring. That was our next objective, was to get to a mountain spring. And for anybody who doesn't know, there is issues with drinking water in the wild, and especially in the backcountry, because you could get giardia, you could get all sorts of things, especially if animals have been wallowing up ahead, or if there's like factories up ahead, or still standing water. But it's common belief that if you take water that's coming straight from the mountain, rushing clear, clean water, it's you don't need to filter it or do anything to it. And I've never gotten sick off of water I've drank outside, filtered or unfiltered. Because I've always followed this rule, and I remember that was our goal next. That's what we were going to do next. And I remember it was literally like an archway in these pine trees. And this is kind of where I've fallen in love with evergreen trees of any kind, especially forests, because it's so they're to me they're just so pretty and gorgeous, and there's just something energetically that I can connect to in there. They're not the most wildlife rich all the time, and there's plenty of birds and insects and stuff, but like if you walk into more like other types of forests, it'll be more dense. But I love seeing out far, but also not, because there's so many trees, but like seeing clearly between them, because all of the growth is up in the canopy, so it has this very elongating feeling to it. And I love 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 that. I remember that's where I really started learning about it. And so I remember now, and then walking up ahead and then hitting up like a huge left turn and just seeing this whole mountainscape. Like you think like the hills are alive with the sound of the music. Like it's essentially was like that. There was these beautiful like prairie and meadow, and the mountains were, they like almost looked purple, and they were so gorgeous. And just I remember it was just so picturesque, and like just I remember these memories are just like photographs that I never, like, it's almost like I never experienced it. I just saw a photograph, and they were just so towering. And you could see the shape where like they themselves were curving left and coming around right. And just, there was always something ahead against the curve. Like you just didn't know what was coming up ahead of us. And it was just this whole sense of mystery and wonder. And I remember hitting up that creek, and or that stream, that spring, that cool mountain spring, and so relaxing and so refreshing. And we just dipped in, and we were just chittering and chattering about if somebody fell off the side of a cliff or this and that, and we were just having a really good time. And I remember, and then most of this trip, so there's a term called, it's a thing called a switchback. So it's a trail or a road that it's going straight up a mountain, but you obviously can't go straight up in a straight line like a hill. Like you're not gonna get anywhere fast. It's gonna put so much strain on your body, on your car, on your bike, on your longboard, anything. So a switchback, essentially, it cuts against the grain, like against the side, angling up, but then it curves around into the mountain a little bit, or just curves around, and that's how you get up. You go left, you zigzag all the way up to the top of the mountain, or to the up against a very steep feature of the trail. And so I remember this is the first place I really experienced a lot of switchbacks. So I remember just going up and up and up and up and up and up, and then curving left and curving around the center of a valley and going up and down and zigzagging again. And I remember there were so many switchbacks throughout this entire trip, and it was almost frustrating because you're like, oh, I got up around this curve, and it's like, oh, there's another one, there's another one, there's another one, there's another one. And it's so much fun. And I remember that that first night, our first campsite, it was off the trail, but only because there was an open meadow that looked all right, and there must have been a campsite, but because it was middle of the summer, for whatever reason, there was still like kind of a raging river in between it. So we literally had to wade across this. It was the typical throwing packs, catching kids, wading through, catching dogs, and we set up camp for the night. And it was just such a beautiful experience, and it was such an open sky that night. We were so deep in the mountains, there was such a starscape, and there was just literally a map of the sky we could just see. And I remember we had eaten some meals, and we had set up camp, and I just remember just laying down up against the log, and we told some scary stories, we told some good stories. And I remember just watching the stars twinkle, and then we were getting rowdy, and it was almost time for bed. But my dad, he had this. We did this thing which I call is I call it the what should we call it? I call it circle piss, a piss a circle. So to put out a fire, obviously you do water, you do this and that, You could put dirt over it, but we decided since we had the full trip around the fire that we were all going to circle around the fire and we were each going to take turns and one at a time, so no one was looking at each other's privates. We would each pee on the fire until it went out, and it was the nastiest experience I had on that entire trip. It was acrid smoke, and it was just so dense and thick and fizzing and hizzling, and you smell the urine coming out from the wood, and just, oh, I was so just putrid. But we died laughing the whole entire time, especially after like the third piss when the smoke really developed. Like, it smoked more than normal. I don't know why, but it just was just this huge column of plume of smoke. It was crazy. But I remember that next morning we got up and we got a late start that day. Just because we were all tired and we just were setting up camp, and some kids were complaining. I complained a little bit, but we were just getting along way late. But I remember that lunch and sitting in that little bit of meadow, we just, me and my dad were propped up against, and we were talking with one another just about the trip, how I was feeling, how he was feeling, what was going on. I remember snacking on this tuna and crackers, and I just remember that meal just felt so fulfilling. Like the carbs and the protein, I could just feel it like trickling into my system, and I didn't like normally I would just finish it and crush it, but I remember I got like I had to save it, but I was full for that period of time, and I just remember that being like really satisfying because that was when we first broke out into the tuna, and just remember that being such a like a thing, like an aspect of it, like that's like a tradition. Like, this is what you do when you're on this camping trip. So we continued on, and we hauled up this mountain, and we're passing trees, we were passing openness, and I remember we literally were we could see where it went up into the lake, or at least the last ascent into the mountain. But I remember us being so far on the opposite side of the entire mountain or valley, and seeing the switchbacks and seeing the straight path that curved. You could literally watch how it curved around the mountain up ahead. And so it was just a long, you could see the destination, but it was right there. And the whole entire time we're watching that destination. And I remember that we didn't even realize that we were halfway up the last ascent until somebody up ahead was like, "We're here." And literally without any hesitation, without any ability to stop us, we literally dropped our packs and we hauled ass up to this lake. And it was gorgeous. The leaders were carrying our backpacks up and they were grumbling and mumbling, but we were just having the time of our life. It was literally like this crystal clear open. It was a lake. It was a small lake, but it was so crystal clear. I don't know how deep it was, but it could not have been very deep. I was very short, but it was one of those where it looked like it was shallow, but it could be very deep. It was just so astounding, and it was in this perfect, it was nestled in this aspect of the mountain, right at the top. The top of the mountain was only however many hundred yards or 100 feet from the top where we were at. It was a very low mountain, compared to what it could have been. But it was just, there was just a meadow to the left, and there was trees, and there was just a small little valley with this lake in the middle of it. And up on against the side of the mountain, there was still snow. There was still this swatch of snow. It was just perfect. It was crunchy and hard. But we got up in there, and we just stripped down, and we got in this lake, and we were playing around. We found that there was these salamanders. Like, they were these big gray, the ones that have those gills on the side of them, like the ones that start with the X. But it wasn't those, because they weren't pink. They were just gray, and they were wild, and they were everywhere in the water. They didn't leave the water or anything. They were just gallivanting in there, and I got a little upset because this one kid was catching them, and then they warned us not to catch him anymore, like, come help us out and stuff. Or he told me, like, get out of the way, because he knew how to catch him, and I was gonna try, but he got in my way, and I was mumbling and grumbling, and it was so echoey, he could hear me when everything I was saying, and I was just being a little brat. But we just were just lounging in the sun. We were just enjoying our time. They had just logs, just deadfall, that were there, and they were this perfect size and shape to make canoes out of. Like, we just literally pushed them in the water. I don't know whether it was because the altitude was so high, or that the lake was so just small, or anything, but these logs just, or the logs were so dry or so devoid of anything inside of them, so sun bleached, that they floated perfectly. Like, no matter how heavy you were, we could still float on them. We were just canoeing up and down on these logs, and we were just having this huge adventure. And we were catching salamanders and watching them, and just feeling this cool water. It was just such a nice break from all of that, from all this stress and from the journey. And we, chasing each other, and we ended up walking up to the side of that cliff that had the snow, and we sledded down on it, and someone almost broke their tailbone. Someone almost broke their leg. It was super dangerous. Like, I don't know why we were allowed to do it. It was super dangerous. There was all these huge boulders that were falling around us, and we were pushing things down, almost making landslides. But it was so much fun. It was just because it was the middle of July, and there was still snow, and it was so hot. But like the coolness of the snow was such a weird feeling, because you got that numb feeling in your hands. But it was the middle of July, and I had no way of knowing why I was getting frostbite in the middle of summer. But we ended up having neighbors. A man and his daughter were having a backpacking journey themselves, and they were enjoying themselves, and we talked to them, and we thought we were going to be alone. We were kind of disappointed, but we were having a ton of fun just swimming and diving and just relaxing in the sun. And I remember waking up that morning, and it was the first morning that we busted out the oatmeal on our little camp stove, and we were boiling it. And I just remember we were sitting back, and we were all just because it was so cold, because it was so high in the mountain, we were all bundled up, and we already packed up everything, and we were eating. And I remember my the assistant scoutmaster was talking about how the oatmeal is the breakfast of kings, and I remember that was just so important to me. I just felt so I felt like a king eating it, and it just filled and just it hit the spot perfectly, just re-energized me for the day. And we oh crap, I'm sorry everybody, I just lost my train of thought. We got up, and after we'd eaten, we'd packed everything up, and we let the father and daughter go ahead of us, so we knew we were gonna be slower. And we said hello, and we said had good luck, have a good trip. And I just remember feeling so sad that we couldn't spend another day out in this lake. It was just so picturesque, and it was so perfect, and it was just such a wonderful adventure and goal. And now that all we had to do was go down the other side of the mountain to the parking lot where we waited for home. And I just remember just being dreading that was the worst part of the entire trip, was going back home. But I remember going up and over some things. I remember looking down and seeing, I believe it was the town Ogden. I believe we saw Ogden from it was this narrow, we could see between the mountains into the valley. You could see where they were at. And I just remember we were just talking, speculating if somebody fell down, if somebody got hurt, what it would take to get over there, and talking about what animals we'd encounter before we could get there. And we continued to traverse, and I think everybody was super grumpy. But and then it led into us where we went to the last, it was the last point where we were going up the mountain still, and we it was literally a saddle. It was just this perfect saddle of where the trail and the mountain met, and we were going to descend down into the valley to get back home. And there was snow at this part of it was just perfect snow, literally sitting in like a saddle on this top of this trail. And I remember we were looking around, and we saw all this pink stuff. We saw all this pink stuff in the snow, and it was just all over the place. And his assistant scoutmaster sat us all down, and he said, "Hey, this," he told us that this is an algae. There's an algae that grows up this tall, and it grows in the snow, and it tastes exactly like watermelon. And so you guys got to go try it and tell me if you really think it is. And so we ran and scrambled like crazy, and we scooped up this snow and this algae, or supposedly algae, and we ate it, and it literally did taste like watermelon. It was amazing. For whatever reason, it tasted just like watermelon. We was telling the truth, and we were eating it, and we were just engorging ourselves on it and getting waterlogged, and it was so much fun. We had this relaxing break. To this day, he stands by it. I talked to him when we were on our honeymoon, because we went out to my hometown to look at things, and I had met up with him. And to this day, he swears it's true, but I'm not exactly sure. I've never heard of it again. I've never heard anybody else talk about it again. I don't know of any sort of Kool-Aid mix that tastes just like watermelon. Not that watermelon flavoring, but like actual watermelon. And maybe it was in our heads, and we were just eating dirty ass snow, which is probably the most realistic thing. But I remember we were just enthralled with it. So maybe in the next couple of years, I'll take my wife back, and we'll see if it's still there and if it's real. But I remember just being so mystified by this pink algae in the snow, this watermelon algae. I'm probably gonna Google search and maybe I'll put in some show notes and see if it's a real thing. I'll let you all know. And so at that point we finally we concluded our descent into madness. We just traversed down. And I don't remember really getting home. I don't remember getting home. I don't remember. I remember getting to the parking lot, but I don't remember any part of the trail. It seemed like it went by so much faster. And sure, maybe if you asked me a couple years ago, before all my other adventures, I would have remembered more. But as I remember, there that was really the extent of it. And I remember just being so satisfied with myself, and I felt so strong. And I was a skinny little kid. I don't know how. I remember I specifically had. I know I had a 40-pound pack on my back. Remember, it was 40 pounds, close to 50, almost at the beginning of the trip. And I remember that. You know, there was a little bit of worrying about some of the smaller kids, including me, that weren't going to make it just fine. But I remember that at 12 years old, I remember I kicked my own ass. I kicked ass on this trail, and so did everybody else around me. And it was really amazingly bonding for one another. And I remember just truly was one of the first experiences that just got me truly into, especially backcountry, not just scout camp, not just camping. Not just anything like that, but just truly like this wild adventure. Yeah, there's a trail, there's some man-made thing, and the ability to see some men and people around. But I remember it was just such an incredible experience. And I mean, I just remember it was such just a formative experience for my childhood, and it forever changed how I see the outdoors and saw how I fit into it. I remember seeing myself and how I myself could conquer an aspect of it. I could not conquer nature, the entire self, with bugs and with all these other things and the actual ascent to the mountain. But I remember I was able to conquer myself through the mountain, and it was the first experience that had ever taught me true mental toughness. And it's such an important thing in this day and age where everything is so easy, especially in an urban or suburban lifestyle, where mental toughness is so hard to gain. Especially with social media, and especially with so many positive things you can see in social media, that you can trick yourself into thinking that life is as good as it is, or your life is as good as it can be, and that you can be complacent. And how getting likes and shares and feedback on just your personal site on Instagram, every like is this huge dose of dopamine, where it's so easy to come by, but it makes you so complacent, and it poisons your mental health. Not how mental health, I'm sorry, but poisons your mental toughness. And I'm susceptible to it too. I'm not as mentally tough as I once was, but I remember just that it's where I learned how to strive towards it. And I think that there's so many things that we can do in this life. And there's a lot of people that have great mental toughness in an urban situation, especially with working out or with craft and learning on a craft, learning art and working on your writing craft, or getting a job and persevering. But I believe that we're at a really hard time for mental toughness in this day and age, where this connectivity to the internet can make things so easy and so complacent, where it's meant to enable us and empower us to use our mental toughness and use our voraciousness to dive into subjects and learn as much as we can, and we can be connected to things and grow businesses, grow concepts, grow ideas. But I think that, especially since this is the beginning, especially because this is the beginning of everything, that there's so much squandering of it, and that we've taken into the easier aspects. And that, yeah, we can just become Instagram models and online, and we can gain money and gain so much net worth because we have one funny trick that we can do, and that Fit Tea will sponsor us for every post that we have with them in it. And not there's anything wrong with sponsorship, but I think that we just that's where our dream is now. You know, whereas, you know, I remember growing up as a kid being like, yeah, like I would love to be a movie star, you know, all that money, all that thing, but that there was still kind of a bit of work to be done through it. But now it just seems that we're so enabled into working. And I remember this trip is just being where I originally had gained my work ethic mentally. And I think that anybody out there, anybody listening to this, you can do that yourself too. And you don't have to go to this deep backcountry adventure or anything like that. It doesn't have to be in nature. I mean, it was for me, but I think you can find it anywhere. And I really hope that we can, as a society, kind of step back from being so dependent on technology and being so dependent upon others, and that we can really gain some more fortitude, and that we can grow within ourselves and grow with one another, and that we can use technology and use social media as a complementary, supplementary tool to our fortitude and to our drive. I think that this world would be so much a better place if so many people would use things right, use it what it's meant for and intended for. If we could put as much effort in as we're capable of, I think that things would look a lot better in this life, as culture, politically, anything. I think that even if it is pulling towards nature again and finding our p place in the world and learning how to work through ourselves and in with nature and acknowledging our presence in it once again and appreciating the life that we do have through it. If that's the way, then I believe we should all get into it and dive into it. I don't believe everybody should do everything outdoors, like hiking or backpacking or hunting or anything, but I think that at least something, even if it's bird watching, even if it's just taking a stroll in a slightly more wild park, that I think that that could lean to, that could help the world. I think that we need a more focus on our presence in nature. I think we need slightly more wild aspects in our suburban and urban lives. I think that's something that needs to happen. I think that even through Instagram and things like that, that we can gain that. I think that each one of us should be able to connect back to it, even if we can't physically do it. I think we need to have that more. I think that that's something that's, I think that's what's missing in this life, is that this connectivity to nature has been lost through so much dependence upon technology. I think that it should, one another should be supplementary. I don't think we can shut off nature or shut off nature. I don't think we should shut off technology either. I think they should work together. And there's so many things, and there's so many tools that do that. There are so many people that do that. But I think as a whole in society, I think we've become more focused on the type of phone and what's in our pocket or what's on our laptop. And I think that's one of the issues that we have with fortitude and with culture. But I mean, there's obviously a lot more issues and a lot more things, but I think if we as a majority of people could dive back into that, I think we could pull up. And I really believe that. And whether that happens or not, I'm not sure, but I've seen so many times where other people have, including my wife, I've exposed to them something a little more wild and a little bit more in depth than they're used to, and it's changed them even just for the day, even if that's as small as it did for that whole day, that their whole life had been put into perspective. And so I hope that you guys enjoyed this story. This is a bit of a smaller podcast than I anticipated, but I really hope that you guys enjoyed it. And as always, if you really did enjoy it, give me some feedback. I like it. Well, I'm gonna say it again. I would love to hear some stories. I would love to see some pictures. I love to share. I'd love to share with you on a more personal level than just likes or comments. I would like to see things. So you can message me on Facebook. You can direct message me on Instagram. I'm gonna set up an email. That's not my private email, but for this podcast specifically, that you guys can message me on. You guys can leave comments as much as you'd like. I would love to hear feedback as well, but I would love to hear more in-depth stories. Even if they're not adventures, I would love to hear stories. I'm a storyteller. That's kind of my thing. So with that, I'm going to close this out. I'm going to leave you to it. I'm going to leave this for you to listen to whenever you like. And as always, everybody, be safe and do something noteworthy, even if it's only to yourself.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.